Welcome to this Living in Victory podcast. This message by Byron was recorded at Kingsgate Church in London, England. If you enjoy this message and would like Byron to come and speak at your event, then go to www.livinginvictory.co.uk for more details.
There's a lot that the Bible actually speaks about in terms of how do you break financial lack, where you find yourself in a position of lack. What are biblical keys? And I'm not talking about a formula. I'm not talking about, you know, some slot machine that you put your money in, pull the lever. I'm talking about biblical principles in the Bible that speak of how to do this. And so we're just going to open the Bible and take a look, and then I'm just going to comment on a few things. And then just let God deal with you, and you need to do what God tells you to do. I'm first going to, actually, I wonder if I should use notes. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. I'm going to first look at 1 Kings 17. And it talks about Elijah and the widow woman. Now, just to give you a bit of feedback, God speaks to Elijah, tells him there's going to be this great famine in the land, and that he's to move over to a place, it's called Zarephath, I think it is. And God's going to send ravens to feed him, and there's going to be a brook there where he's going to just drink of. And so life's pretty good. He sees the supernatural provision of God, and then suddenly the book dries up, and God tells him to move. And so I'm going to pick it up from verse 8. If you guys have got that, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you.' So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die.' And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear, go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the land, on the earth.' And as she went and did as Elijah said, and as she and her household ate for many days, the jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke to Elijah." Now, that's quite an amazing scripture. Now, if you look at that from a natural point of view, everything about it sounds wrong. Who was the guy who experienced the supernatural provision? Elijah. Who was the person in immense lack? The widow woman. What was the word of the Lord? Give it to Elijah. Why? Because he had an anointing of breakthrough on him. Because what was on him came on her, as she gave it in obedience to the word of the Lord. So often we sit in poverty, or we sit in lack, and we think we cannot give. And the mindset is to lack, is to hoard, and say, "I don't have enough, so I need to hold." And what does Jesus say? Well, I'll tell you, Jesus said it as well, but we're looking at what Elijah and what God spoke through Elijah. What did he say? He said, "That's fine." Now, she was in desperate poverty. She was not in a little, there was no financial lack. She was going to eat her last meal and die. That's a serious, serious financial problem. Not many of us are in that kind of position. And so often we're quick to criticize and say, "Oh no, we're supposed to give to the poor." We are, absolutely. But what if the poor are supposed to give into the work of the Lord? Because that's where the provision is. Because God knows how to multiply stuff. Because you look, she gave to Elijah. He ate very well of it. And her jar and her oil never ran out. The entire time, while there was a famine going on in the land, what happened? She moved kingdoms. She was subject to one kingdom where there was absolute famine, and then by the word of the Lord, she came and gave into the other kingdom where there was no famine. Elijah didn't experience lack because God fed him and God supernaturally provided for him. And that's such a powerful thing. God didn't say she had to give everything. He said, "Give some of your stuff." And sometimes that's how you break a financial lack in your life. You pray and you ask God, "Lord, where am I supposed to give?" And everything within you and everything we're programmed and everything in the world tells you, I need to hoard and I need to hold. And that's why you're still living in lack. I can't say that any nicer. I love you, but I want to see you free. And I'm going to show you, it's not just in one scripture. It runs throughout the Bible. It's a principle of Jesus. It's bring it to the hands of the Lord. Let God multiply it. Let's have another look. Also, just one thing. Everything that I talk about in terms of scripture is purely from a financial point of view. So it might not even be the main point. It might seem unbalanced, and it probably is. But it's because it's from a financial point of view only. That's all we're actually looking at and honing into tonight. So, okay. Now, let's have a look. Let's look at Genesis 26, verse 1 to 3. It speaks of Isaac. Now, Abraham had Isaac. And so anyway, so it says in verse, anyone there? Genesis 26, verse 1. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. To you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish an oath that I swore to Abraham, your father. It's interesting. And then in verse 12 it says, so Isaac sowed in that land, and he reaped the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very, very wealthy. What was going on? There was extreme famine. There was extreme poverty. What was the word of the Lord? Sow. Give. Yes, he had a physical thing where he physically sowed into the ground. Guess what happened? When everybody else was starving, what happened to Isaac? He reaped 100-fold return. In the midst of a famine. Let's have a look. Luke chapter 6, 38. This is interesting because it actually speaks about forgiveness. First of all, let's go back to verse 35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. And he is kind to the ungrateful and to the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it's measured back to you. Now, first of all, it speaks of forgiveness, that we need to walk in forgiveness because it's withholding the blessing of the Lord. Because it comes before give, and it'll be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, be poured out into your lap. It's easy to quote that and stuff, but when you're walking in bitterness, that just cancels it out. You need to have that too. Is everyone okay? Was this a little too tense? Feels quite intense in here. Laugh it off, eh? Shake it off. You know what? The Bible says the truth will set you free. It didn't say it like the truth. But it'll set you free. I want to tell you something. I can tell you from personal experience, God has come through every single time. Every time Tammy and I found us in a financial jam, which has been a lot, there's been immense resistance from all sides all the time. And what do? We ask Jesus, Lord, what are you saying? Is there somebody we're supposed to give to? And almost 100% of the time, there is. And guess what happens? It breaks the famine every time. And there's always provision. We even had it once that it was actually quite a stupid thing. It was my own fault. I was chatting to some friends, and they were going through a very rough time financially. And I just kind of blurted out. I said, you know what, guys? Like, we really love you, and we'll take care of all your needs this month. And I didn't discuss it with Tammy. I didn't even ask God. And so they said, oh, they were excited, man. As I'm sure they should be. And they came to us about 2 days later with the amount. Now, it wasn't ridiculous. But to us, it was every single cent that I had. Everything. I mean, I had the equivalent of about 10p left in my account. And we had all of our bills to pay. And for about 2 weeks, because it wasn't quite the end of the month yet, it was still like the middle of the month, for like 2 weeks, I was just trying to get out of it, because I was like, well, Jesus didn't tell me, it was just me. It's like, what an idiot. And You know, and I kind of spoke to Tam, and she was like, yeah. So I was like trying to tell them in the most loving, gentle way that I didn't really speak to Jesus, and I should have done that first. And so, you know, unfortunately, it's a bit more than we can afford and whatever, so we're not doing that. And I kept praying about it, and I kept God saying, men of integrity keep their word. And I was like, oh, that's hard. Why? Because your flesh screams at you. But so what we did is we did it with joy, and we said, here we go, guys. Good luck. And so we gave them all of our money. And I think it was like the Wednesday, and the bills were due on Friday. And now your natural mind wants to freak out. And it did. But you know what? You know what we did? We just said, Jesus, your word is true. Isaiah 55:10 says, God's word does not return to him void. You know? And whether God spoke to me to do it or not is irrelevant. When you honor God and you say, Lord, my heart is after you. I'm doing something, even though I might have not even been obedient, I believe God still honors it because you're doing it for him. Because it's an expression of love to somebody else to bless them. And guess what happened? Overnight, I used to run my own business, and I put out so many quotes, and nobody really wanted to take any of them until we decided to give everything we had. And overnight, three people confirmed their jobs and paid their deposits. And in the morning, there was like £3,000 in our account. And we've seen God do that time and time and time and time again, every time. And he's never let us down. He's never dropped us. There's been some times where it's been tough. You know, I went through a stage in 2012, which was very, very tough. I was very sick. I literally worked 2 days a week at most. And I was consistently, I was having some, they didn't really know what it was. They thought maybe it was an inner ear infection, but my body would just keep shutting down. It just wouldn't work. I'd just lie on the floor and shake. And everything, my head would go blood red, and everything else would go like ice cold, and my hands and feet would just turn white. And it was happening lots, all the time. And Tam and I didn't understand. We were standing on everything we knew how to stand on. And, you know, when you're faced with stuff like that, it's not fun. It isn't fun. But, you know, in the midst of that, what began to happen? Did we stop giving? No. Did we stop tithing? No. Why? Because God's word does not change. Because his word works every time when you put it to work. And in the midst of that time, God began speaking to us to give. Give extravagantly. And let me tell you, we went through that whole season without any lack whatsoever. Our bills were never late. Not one bill was ever late, ever. And I didn't have the financial means in terms of working power to be able to produce the money that began to came in. And yes, it came through work, and it came through all sorts of sources, not other people giving us. And don't prescribe to God how to get to you. Because often we can say, well, we did this, so God has to do it like this. Look at the Bible. Jesus says to Peter, like the guy, you know, they need the tax. Go get the fish. The money is in its mouth. Now, of all the things you could probably think of how provision works, you probably wouldn't have thought of that one. Do you know what I mean? God says to the ravens, hey, go and feed Elijah. That's not normal. God doesn't work in the normal. I mean, Tam and I were going through a rough stage once, and we kind of just said, okay, Lord, we're just going to do what you call us to do, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. I mean, one of the things was, is it okay if I just share? Yep. Is that fine? Because I feel like we just need to give some testimony. And I'm not bragging on myself. Please, come on. Let's get real, guys. Let's get real with Jesus. You know, just before we had Hannah, it was tough. It was tough financially. And we had saved up for a pram, for a stroller. And then we got wind that there was someone in the church who was not able to put food on their table. And we couldn't sleep. And we said, Jesus, that's just not acceptable. If we have to carry our child for the next 6 months because we cannot afford a stroller, then that's what we'll do, because we'll not stand around and do nothing. And so we gave the money for our stroller. And then she was born, and a friend of ours lent us their stroller, and they were like, is yours on order? And we're like, yeah, kind of. We placed an order with Jesus. His delivery system from heaven to earth seems to be a long way. It's not always as efficient as I'd like. Maybe they need some pointers from like Amazon Prime or whatever. I don't know, you know. But God's kingdom works, but it doesn't always work in the time frame we like. You know, and sometimes we've got to be prepared to step out in faith. And that's when you come to walk on water. Because you come in that place where if your eyes are not on Jesus, you're going to sink very quickly. And the amazing thing is, not even, I think Hannah was a week old. And Tammy's dad came to visit us. And And he gave us an envelope, and in the envelope was the exact amount of money of the pram that we were trusting God for. To the last cent. And we just burst into tears. Because it wasn't about the money, it was about Jesus honoring. When we honor him, he honors us. John 17:10 says, "All that I have is yours, and all that you have is mine." And when we prepare to live in a place where we say, "Jesus, all I have is yours," all that he has becomes available to us. And sometimes that's a scary place to live in. Sometimes that it's daunting to put your faith out there. Because finance is a real sort of litmus test of sometimes what's going on in our heart. You know, sometimes God will just speak something into your heart that makes no sense. But that's the walk of faith. And when you begin to do that, you begin to see supernatural provision. You begin to see stuff. I remember when I started my business, God spoke to me to start a business in the middle of 2009, the worst recession that England had seen for years. And I kind of watched a lot of TV and news at the time. And a friend of mine sent me a prophetic word and said, "Yeah, I really feel like you're supposed to start your own business." And I was like, "Dude, I don't see that. I've got a job. It pays okay. We're going on holiday. Life is good." And about 2 weeks later, like, stuff just started changing. And I felt God speaking to me that it's time to step out into what he had called us to do. And your mind freaks out because you're like, it's recession. Who wants to start a business in a recession? Not me. So we had some money saved and whatever. And so we put it aside and we're like, "Okay, Lord, we've got enough for 3 months to keep us going," because Tammy was working, but there was still a bit of a shortfall. And so God had spoken to us, told us exactly how the business was to look, what it was to be, everything. I mean, it was supernatural. I was waking up in the middle of the night with dreams, and God would tell me exactly how it should be. And so we just did what he told us. It wasn't anything special. We didn't dream and plan about it. We did dream, but it was from him. And so anyway, when I started the business, it kind of nothing really happened. I resigned, and I started in this business, and I got no calls at all. And I was praying, and I was saying, "Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And Jesus said, he spoke to me in Proverbs chapter 3. And he said, what did he say to me? I remember actually very clearly. He said, "You're limiting me because you refuse to trust me." And he said, "Take that money that you've set aside, that you're trusting in, and give it to somebody." And then he says, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." And God said to me, and so I immediately rebuked Satan. Because I was like, "You lying spirit, get out of here." And then I realized it was God. And I came to church the following Sunday. Chet Henderson stood up and he said, "He feels like there's somebody here that God is saying you're limiting him because you refuse to trust him." And he read Proverbs chapter 3. And I started crying. Because I was like, Jesus is talking to me. And so, in stupidity or faith, it was faith, we took the money and we gave it to the person. And we said, "Jesus, our lives are in your hands." And guess what happened? Nothing. And I freaked out. Because for 2 days, nothing changed. So I called Ryan Matthews. He was the pastor at the time. So I said, "Ryan, can I come speak to you?" Because every time we had done that before, something had instantly changed. And so I was quite stressed about it. Because I was like, "What have I done? Stupid fool." But anyway, so we went and I chatted with Ryan. And he's like, "Don't worry, you're changing the atmosphere. Jesus will come through for you." And Jesus did. And things actually got worse. So my van that I bought was a good van, was lovely. And just after I gave all the money away, the van engine blew up. And now I had to catch the bus to the job that I don't even have any clients to yet. It was like very stressful. It's not a cool time. But you know what? In the midst of that, we saw supernatural provision like you can't believe. God supplied and provided. And I want to tell you, my business is blessed all the time. All the time. It's never without. There's never been a lack season. There's been times where lack has tried to come in. That comes all the time. And we live in a real world. There's a real God. There's a real devil too. And when you get really hot after God, if you think the devil's just going to leave you alone, you're deceived. But he's defeated. And actually, when we go with God and we follow God all the time, we walk in victory. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying go and give all your money away. No. What am I saying? Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he's saying. Because he's telling you something. And you may not have the need to break whatever need you see, but you certainly have the seed. You know, and if you plant that seed where Jesus tells you to plant it, that will break the need every time. Because that's how the Bible works. That's how Scripture works. That's how the kingdom of God works. Because it's completely opposite to the way that we've been trained. It's completely opposite to the world's way. The world's way to meet your needs, say, you know, keep as much as you can, borrow if you need, whatever. That's not Jesus' way. And you don't have to live in that system. I want to just, in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, it says, it talks about Jesus feeding the 5,000. On the return, the apostles told him all that he had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. Let's go to verse 12, and it says, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. He said to them, speaking to his disciples, you give them something to eat, he said. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. And there were about 5,000 men. And he sat down, and he said to his disciples, have them sit down in the groups of about 50 each. And they did so, and had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces. What happened there? The disciples were faced with an immense, immense lack. Not only for the 12 of them, but for 5,000. It says men, not minding women and children. What did they do? They asked Jesus, they listened to what he did, and they put it in his hands. What did he do? He blessed it, and it multiplied supernaturally. That's exactly the same thing that happened to the widow woman and Elijah. She listened to the voice of God, to the word of the Lord. He was a prophet of the Lord. God had spoken to him. He spoke it to her. She listened, obeyed. She gave some to him. What happened? There was a grace for supernatural provision was put upon her. It's exactly the same thing. They collected 12 basketfuls. It was more than what they started with, and they fed 5,000 people. Jesus doesn't have a problem to provide. He doesn't. The problem is we're not always prepared to put our provision in his hands because it's fear. It's fear. I promise you it's fear. I know because I live in that place often. You know, at the moment we're in a season where God's calling me out of the business I'm in into a stupid, seemingly stupid thing which makes no sense. I have a good business which provides good money. We live a good life. And Jesus is calling us out. And that's scary. We're having another child in August. 2 children. And God's calling us out into a place that is uncharted territory that at the moment looks like there's probably very little financial provision. But you know what? It's actually such an exciting place to be. Because you know what? In the hands of Jesus is the safest place you can be. He's never going to drop you. He's never going to leave you. And you know what? Faith is a muscle. You don't just step out and like jump out. You know what? You start slowly. You know? If you're growing in this, you start blessing somebody with lunch. You don't bless them with your salary and then say, oh, I'm going to see if Jesus does something. Because you know what? Your faith's not at that level. You're going to sink. And you're going to go without. And that's not clever. Listen to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Let's have a look in 2 Corinthians 9 and 2 Corinthians 8. We'll start in 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 2 to 7. Is this okay? Everyone still happy? All right. Let's start in verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, and as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. And then in verse 7 it says, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. It's interesting. They were in extreme poverty. They were facing extreme poverty, and yet they begged Paul to partake in meeting the needs of the church. Why? Because the grace of God was on Paul. Who wrote Philippians? Anybody? Was it Paul? What does Philippians 4:19 say? We quote it all the time. And my God shall meet all of your needs according to his glories and riches in Christ Jesus. Now, whenever we need provision, that's the Christian scripture to go to. What is the scripture talking about? Go read before verse 19. What does it say? Paul says, I thank you that again you've renewed your concern for me in concerning giving and receiving. What happened? They began giving into his ministry again. What happened? It says, my God, the grace that's on me shall meet your needs. What happened? The grace of God for provision that was on him as they gave into his ministry was released upon them. They partakers of his grace. And Paul says, not that I wish that something may abound to my account, but I want that something abound to your account. That's why in Ephesians, it's in Galatians 6, it says, let him who shares the word, let those who he shares it with share all good things with him. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Why? Because he's saying, as the person shares the word with you, you partake of it by sharing with them, and the grace is released upon you as well. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 9. Paul sums up the whole point of what he was talking. And you know, the Bible wasn't the original wasn't chapters. We often look at chapter 8 as one thing, chapter 9 is another thing, chapter 10 is another thing. It's not always. Read the Bible as if it was just a story, because it was a letter. Because chapter 8 actually runs into chapter 9. Because then, if you don't believe me, go and read it. It says, chapter 9, verse 6, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, so first of all, it's saying there, each person should give in his own heart. So I can't tell you what is the secret to you walking in financial blessing and breaking lack. That each person should give is, need to listen to God. What is God saying? You know, because if you did what I did, that's not a fresh word from God. So how do you know? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God is alive and active. It's alive. How many of you know the Holy Spirit is alive? He's real. So you need to hear what Jesus is saying to you at that time and do that. Because that's where the breakthrough is. Not what Jesus said to me at that time, because that's not where the breakthrough is anymore, because he's alive. So you need to listen. Because sometimes it's a little, sometimes it's a lot. You look at when, I'll get back to this now, I'm not getting distracted. But you look at the widow woman with the two mites. She puts in two mites. Other guys gave a lot of money, and Jesus says, she gave more than any of you. She gave all that she had. And let me tell you, Jesus did not leave her poor. She now put her provision in his hands. Because just look at the nature of God. He's not a robber. He's a blesser. And yeah, so anyway, so Paul sums it up and it says here in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Now he who supplied seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us will produce thanksgiving to God. What is he saying? As they gave willingly, cheerfully into the work of the Lord in response to what they heard God speak to them, what happened? A grace was released from heaven that in all things at all times they'd have all that they need. There was never any lack. It's exactly the same principle that happened in 1 Kings chapter 17 with Elijah and the widow woman. There was a grace released. So yeah, that's, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you this is how you have to live. That's not the point. The point is, this is a theme that runs through the Bible. And, you know, I really, please, 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 don't miss my heart here. I'm really not saying you need to do anything. You really don't. You need to listen to Jesus. But you actually need to open up yourself and say, Lord, is there something you're telling me? That is there someone that you that's just on the radar? That because you can't help everybody, because God doesn't want you to. But there may definitely be somebody that is saying, I want you to do that. And it might make not a lot of sense, and your flesh might scream at you, but your victory and your breakthroughs in that thing. You know, so I just want to challenge you. Begin to walk in this thing. But start slowly. Build your faith. You know, the first time you work out in a gym, you don't go and lift 100 kilograms and look at me, because you do two reps and your muscles tear. You start slowly, and you start with 2 kgs. And everyone looks at you, you're like a bit strange, you know, a bit of a weirdo, you only can do 2 kgs. But so what? You do 15 reps of that, and you get strong. So the next time you take 5, and the next time you take 7, and before you know it, you're on 25s, and the guys are looking at you saying, that acts quite strong, you know? And that's how you do. That's how Marty does it, yeah. But that's how the faith walk is, you know? That's how it walks and works in this area. You don't do stuff that's foolish. That's not the point. The point is to listen to Jesus, but actually say, Lord, have I missed it somewhere? Because you know what? If you're walking in a cycle of consistent lack, then I can tell you, truthfully and with all the love in my heart, you have missed it somewhere, because it's not the norm that we're supposed to walk in, because that's not what Scripture describes. Because we're supposed to be a victorious church who lives in the fullness. We're the seed of Abraham. Look at Abraham in Romans 4. It promises him that he would be heirs to the world. In Haggai 2:8, it says, the gold is mine, the silver is mine. In Psalms 24:1, it says that everything on the earth, the fullness of the earth, belongs to God. Who are we? We're his children. It belongs to us too. But there are spiritual things and faithfulness of how we're supposed to live scripturally in terms of honoring God and doing what he tells us that will break lack in our lives all the time. And so I want to challenge you just to begin to ask God. And, you know, it's between you and Jesus. You need to say, God, what do I do? You know, what is I've got, maybe, you know, so maybe you're saving £5 a month for your children. Maybe that's actually not supposed to be saved. Maybe it's supposed to be seed. Maybe God's saying, why don't you sow £5 a month into someone else's child? See what I'll do for your child. It'll be supernatural. You know, God knows your needs. He knows every hair on your head. He knows that you want to have a good education for your kids. He knows that stuff. You know, but sometimes you're supposed to just put it in his hands and say, Jesus, let me be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. Because the Bible says in Genesis 12, it says, God blessed Abraham and he would be a blessing. That was his commission. He was supposed to be a blessing. We're supposed to live lives that want to be a blessing. That's how we were made. Because we're made in the image of God. He gave. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his very best, his one and only son, for us. That's the nature of God. He's a giver. But he wants us to imitate him. And so what is that? That involves, it's not, I'm just honing in on finances, guys. But it's everything. But it includes finances, and we're supposed to live in that place. So, awesome. If that blessed you, I'm really pleased. If you're offended, I'm sorry. I love you. And you know what? Like I say, guys, just pray and ask God what you're supposed to do. You can't live off my revelation. You can't live off my testimonies. Get your own revelation. Get your own testimonies. Get into the Bible. Find out what the Bible says. Make it come alive. Because you know what? When life and the enemy comes at you, it's not, oh, I heard Byron preaching one day on that. It doesn't cut it. You know, you become like the sons of Sceva in Acts. You know, they said, hey, Jesus we heard of, Paul we heard of, but who are you? There's no power, there's no authority there. You need to get into the Scripture and say, Lord, is this something for me? Is there something I'm missing here? I'm hungry for you, Lord. I want to learn more. Teach me, Jesus. And then begin to test him. Put his word to the test. In Malachi 3:10, it says, test me on this and tithes and offerings and see if I'll not pour out so much blessing you're unable to contain. Start small and see, actually, you know what? I'll start giving that £5 away that I'm saving every month. And guess what? Just there seems to be an extra £50 every month. I don't really understand where it comes from. I walk into Sainsbury's. I mean, we do this quite often. It's quite amazing. Like, we often will. I was walking in the shop one day, and we were really struggling financially. Stuff was not going right. And all of a sudden, I started putting back stuff. Because I was like, we can't afford to buy this. And something rose up in me and said, you're a son. And you know what? I began to just say, Lord, we're a son and we'll eat whatever we want. Why? Because we honor you and we put you first in everything we do. And guess what? We would walk into the shop and every single thing that we wanted was on special. And we bought everything we wanted for the price we had, not what we could afford. Why? Because God is good. But sometimes you have to challenge. You have to challenge what you believe. You've got to step out in faith and say, Jesus, you know what? I'm not living like a pauper. I don't care if there's no money in my account. That is not my status with you. Because you are my provider and you can do everything. And I've honored you in every way that I know how. There's not a formula. It's not, I do this and then you do that. No, no. I just do what you say. And you said that everything that you have now becomes available to me. And so I'm going to live in that place. I don't have to live like defeated anymore. You know, and you do that. And, you know, something that God's intentionally called Tammy and I to do often is to pay for people's holidays. Often. And sometimes it's been at the expense that we can't go on holiday because God has said, bless somebody else. So you sit at home. And if your heart is wrong, God really tests your heart to that. But I want to tell you something. Like, we have been on holiday extravagantly all the time. All the time. And we've never had to save. We just decide to go and the money arrives. And we've been to some really nice places and we often get upgraded. We've actually sewed into quite a few honeymoons. And so we often get like honeymoon suites. Because God's not silly. He's not stupid. The Bible says, do not be mocked. The Bible, what does it say? Thank you, Jesus. Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. You know, the funniest thing is in my life, God has done some amazing things financially. And it's quite weird because like most of it's actually come through painting. Like physical painting walls and stuff like that. And I never really, like, I started the handyman business, but even before that, like years and years before that, like our house actually came out of painting. You know, I bought the land with which our house was built debt-free out of painting. You know, it's like, and I started a handyman business, which I advertise as a handyman business, and I probably get 80, 90% painting work, and I don't advertise for any painting. And I started, the one day I was just driving, probably about a year and a half ago, 2 years, and I was like, Lord, why? How come I keep getting blessed through painting? And God said to me, I'll never forget. And I was like, what are you talking about? And probably 17 years ago, I wasn't working, I wasn't doing anything, and our pastor, Stephen Joel, named Brett Osborne, he just became the youth pastor, and he moved onto the church premises, and he moved into kind of like a, you could call it a house, it kind of didn't really look like a house at the time, and it was more like a barn that had kind of been converted and stuff, and it needed painting. And I just put up my hand and said, you know what, but I'd love to help you. So I went and painted for like 2 weeks, and I just painted his house. And it didn't seem like anything. But God said to me, I'll never forget. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And I've reaped so much out of painting. It's crazy. And God said to me, it happened then because you sowed the seed then because you were obedient even when you didn't know it. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing for me. Trust me. It is amazing. I promise you it's amazing. And I can tell you story after story of it because that's how it is. For Tam and I, that's normal life. It happens all the time. We see some amazing things, you know? But the key is to honor God all the time. Honor God. You know, we had a situation. I'm just going to talk for two more minutes. Sorry. We had a situation about 2.5 years ago that, like I was saying, we were going through this rough time. Physically, I was hearing voices all the time. It was a really dark season. It kind of like hell just sort of moved in. And I didn't really know what to do or how to fight it. And we went through a lot of issues at the same time. And in the midst of it, my business kind of was going pretty south. And I lost my biggest client. He was bringing in half the revenue for the business. And it just all wasn't going well. And then we found out we were supposed to have registered for VAT 8 months before, which we didn't. And then we had this great news that we now owed £6,000 to the VAT man, and we had no money. And we were told it's got 3 weeks to be paid. And what do? You send Jesus a bill. And you say, this cannot be my problem. Because the Bible says that you care for me, and you're my caretaker, and I'm your child. And I tithe, and I give, and I do everything you've told me to give. And no, I don't understand why life is working out like this, but I know that you're good. And guess what happened? It was paid in full, on time, with no debt. How? I don't know. You ask Tammy, it just kind of arrived. And we walked through, God delivers us, and we had the same amount before. We were left with the same amount than before. And I met with some other friends, and they were going through a similar situation. And they were like, we just don't understand. It's not fair. God didn't do that for us. But you know what? They weren't doing what we were doing. They were not prepared to live in that level of surrender that we said, Jesus, all we have is yours, but all you have is ours. They were not prepared to live in that place where they just said, Lord, I'm going to tithe and I'm going to honor you above everything else that I do. I will do that. If it means there's no food in the house, we will go without food, but we will not. The Bible says, honor me. Go read Proverbs chapter 4. What does it say? Honor the Lord with your wealth. That's what it says. Honor the Lord. When you begin to honor God, guess what happens? He honors you. And he never drops you. And he doesn't forsake you. And yeah, so that's all I've got to say. And I pray that that's really a blessing to you. And not, it's not a heavy word. It really isn't. It's a freedom word. It's a freedom to say, Lord, how do we come up to a higher place in faith? How do we come up to a higher place in walking in your supernatural provision? How do we come into a place where we live as the sons and daughters that we're called to be? And I believe biblically that's how you do it. And what you choose to do with it is between you and Jesus. And there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. I'm not putting condemnation on anyone. Believe me, we love you. This church will love you. No one's telling you to do anything. You need to get with Jesus and let him tell you what to do. Because that's where the victory is. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. We hope you enjoyed this message. Once again, don't forget to contact us at livinginvictory.co.uk if you would like Byron to come and speak at your event.
Thanks, Byron.